Amen. What a blessing. Brother Allen did a lot of work this time. Can you guys turn this monitor down a little bit? I'm fixing to blow my own eardrums. Hebrews chapter number 12. I don't want it ringing because I am planning on getting loud. And you say, you working it up, old friend. It has worked up already. I just want to say thank you to everybody. Brother Allen worked on, we wanted to be able to do some things in-house, and we got a laser that will cut those cups for the ladies' package and things like that. All that was done in-house by our own people, and at their own hazard with all those gases that burn off. Because you know, when you burn off things offside of, you don't know what that's made out of. Not anymore. You don't even know what's in the food you're eating. Amen. Unless you come to Restore-a-thon, and then it's all good for you. Amen. We had such a great time. We opened the Landmark Heritage Museum, and we just had a great time. I hope you had an opportunity to go through that. Pastor mentioned radio last night. That is something that's going to be kind of curated or watched over by our college. And so as the college takes care of that and keeps it up and also adds to it, again, under the watchful eye of the president, which is me, we will be taking care of that. But we do want it, because it is there on the property, we're going to try to work out for who can be there, what hours, and we'll be bringing all that. But we thought it was a great opportunity to open that while we had Restore-a-thon, and so many of our folks were there, and I hope you got to go through that. We have a great heritage, folks, of God's people being faithful through the years. And again, it was my pleasure to be your pastor and to watch our church and the listeners do that again this year. I appreciate Brother Jeff Castle. He'll be preaching for us tonight. I ask him to come, and usually by the time it's Sunday morning, I'm gassed and I need somebody. We've had somebody preach, but as your pastor, I know I'm going to miss next Sunday, and that's not because I don't want to be with you. It's because it's just what's needful for what the time and the hour it is. And I knew that I did not get to preach the last two Sundays. For two reasons, I didn't want to get fired. And number two, I want to preach to my people. It's my turn to take a victory lap this morning. And so if you would turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm not sure this will be a super alliterated, stylist message. I'm just going to have a good time and thank the Lord for saving my soul and bringing me to be a part of the Landmark Baptist Church. I just tell you, friend, that there ain't a lot of places like this place. Amen. And you may not think there's a lot of pastors like this pastor. I was up in Sunday school class, and I said something about, you know, that crazy pastor you got. And I got an amen. Amen. In Sunday school, amen. And so I'll just say I thank God for the work of God here and just all that he's done through the years. And I'm thankful that I get to be a part of continuing that. And I'm thankful that, you know, you can't do this stuff. You know, Dr. Lee Robertson used to say, everything rises and falls on leadership. But I have learned as a leader, everything rises and falls on fellowship. If you won't get behind the man of God, he can't do what God's called him to do. If you can't get behind it, listen, in a good leader, there's two different types of leaders in the world. There are people, leaders who have to be pushed by the people to do something by faith. And there are others that you can follow because you don't have to push them. All right? They'll fight for God at the drop of the hat, and they will drop the hat. We have had that in Pastor Carter, and that is the man that I aspire to be, is a leader that just does what God asked me to do. And listen, you know, you say, will you jump off a bridge if somebody else jumps off the bridge? If my pastor had jumped off the bridge and led me to do that, I'd have followed him into the water. Amen. And I want to be that kind of follower, and now I want to be that kind of leader that'll go for God. And listen, the Bible is full of leaders, people who have just done what exactly God asked them to do. By the way, we are going to be in Hebrews chapter 12 this morning, and it follows the heroes of the faith that are listed in chapter 11. And it is just a roll call of people, men and women, by the way, who just for the cause of Christ hazarded their lives. Sometimes like Abraham, who did not know where he was going, God told him to go out, and he went out. He didn't know where he was going to end up, and God said he'd lead him, and he got to a place, and he said, then he told him he wanted him to cover this whole area. Every place the sole of your foot will touch, I'm going to give it to you and your heritage or the people that come behind you. Folks, I'm telling you, he had an awesome heritage. But you say, well, what's coming? Listen, God's not done with Israel. You know, sometimes we think, the game is not over. It's not all said and done. Now, we pitched and we had a good wiffle ball game and we've had Restore-a-thon. But listen, the Restore-a-thon didn't mean it ended. It means we restored the budget so we can do it all over again. We can go a whole another year, 24/7, 365 days, funded and following God's leadership to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. And if we're going to have a radio station that does that, then we ought to have a church that's God in that radio station that commits itself to keep on and being here. Listen, I don't want it. Who in the world wants a radio station that'll outlast the church, the leg that it's a part of? Nobody wants that. So it takes heroes of the faith, you know, and I was in that wing preacher and just walking through, sometimes getting to hear some things preacher said about the folks. And I know that everybody enjoyed that and that was fresh for you. But folks, that we've been working on that all year long. It's been years, a couple years of work to put that thing together and to get all the history together. And we still got more to do. Folks, we want to remember our history because every time I go in there and I see those things, it doesn't make me want to stop. It makes me want to be faithful. I see people that were faithful. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, I see that there were people that were faithful, and when they graduated, in chapter 11, he marks their deeds and everything that they did in their faithful lives when they walked the chalk and they pulled and towed the line for God and did what God asked them to do, and then they graduated to glory. Listen, that museum is full of people that have graduated to glory. And even though we put a bunch of preachers that were heroes of the faith up on the board, if we were to cover, listen, that banner and that wall would not have covered all the people that we put their faces in the memorial wing. There's not enough wall up there. We had to put digital televisions up there scrolling all the things that God has done through all the years. And those things, listen, we'll probably have to get bigger hard drives for them before it's all over with, because there's just people constantly making history, being heroes of the faith at this place. And we want to record it for God's glory, not for their glory, but for God's glory, to help other people, young people that played baseball and enjoyed the day and realize that it's good to be a Christian. Do you know, I'm just going to tell you, it's fun to be a Christian. I had a good time. I wasn't there because anybody dragged me or because I was getting paid to be there till midnight last night. I went because I was there before I was the pastor. When I was a college student, I was on the phones and I was given, and I listened. When I was gone from this place for 5 years, I was sitting by the radio and I didn't go to bed till midnight, till the thing was over, because I was given and praying and wanting them to reach the goal because I had been a part of this place. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm just telling you, we ought to take a Restore-a-thon whoopee lap, amen, this morning. Now, I don't know how many of you brought your towels, all right? You don't have to feel bad. I brought one for you, okay? I'll wave it when it needs to be waved, all right? And we'll go on today, all right? I want to pray and ask God to help us before we dive in the message. I want to preach a message this morning that ye are witnesses. Ye are witnesses this morning. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you again. I pray that I could preach, God, what you've laid on my heart. But what I want more than that is for you to allow me to be your messenger boy. God, I want you to preach this morning. I want you to, again, just allow me to be your messenger boy, and that you preach the message that you have instilled in my heart from your word. God, I pray that you would do a work. I pray you would encourage the saint. God, that you'd encourage us to go on for you. God, I pray that you would discomfort the sinner that's in our midst that needs to be saved. If they're not saved and they think that they're a good person or that's going to get them to heaven, God, I pray you'd make it and reveal it clearly that they need Jesus to be saved. God, I pray this morning that you would help us not just be comfortable where we are, but God, to realize that so many have gone before us. And Lord, you're coming quickly and we need to be witnesses until you come. We ask it in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus, we ask it this morning. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, I pray you're there. He says, wherefore, he's going back. Wherefore is always there because of what was in chapter 11 and all the heroes of the faith. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I just want to tell you this morning that these are encouraging verses. We use this as a theme for our Restore-a-thon. But he begins this with wherefore. Because of everything that has come before, and seeing that, seeing what others have done and the race that they ran and that God would be faithful to them, we ought to decide and realize that their life is not over, but in eternity. And as we were talking about it on the radio last night, and let me remind you again, there's a balcony. And I don't know what you believe and what your heretical theologian has told you about people not knowing in heaven what's going on down here. If God told us that he would save us, that clip from Brother House last night, that he saves us and lets us be seated in heavenly places and tells us where we're going to be, if he set up shop and let me have a seat, then he's going to let me see what I put my 2 cents into and everything that God has allowed me to be a part of in this life. You say, I don't think so, because what if I look over the banister rail of heaven and I saw all the hurt and the pain and the sorrow? Yeah, for people that you love, people that you invested in. So God doesn't look down from the banister rails of heaven and get behind you, and he's listening to prayers from on earth, begging God to help you. Listen, this place is a sin-cursed world. Adam thrust all of eternity into sin. And listen, I mean, most of us don't always do things to bring that in our own lives. Sometimes, yes, we pay for things or reap what we sow, but there are a lot of us that are reaping what other people sowed sometimes. Because this is a sin-cursed earth. I didn't drive in here this morning looking to be hit, but I was watching all the time because people are crazy drivers around here. And it don't have to be your fault. You can be trying to do all you can do to get here, and it'll happen. Why? Because it's a sin-cursed earth. Accidents happen. People don't pay attention, or they don't stop. They don't go when they're supposed to, and sometimes accidents happen because of that. And by the way, listen, there are times that people have run into each other, hurt other people. People have left this earth too early because of just somebody didn't go when they were supposed to go. They didn't stop when they were supposed to stop. They didn't do what God wanted them to do when it happened, and it changed everything around them, and sometimes even changed your life. And if you're not careful, instead of blaming this sin-cursed world and the people who were sinning and not obeying God, you'll blame God. And by the way, God is not at fault. He's a holy God who said, if you sin, death will come because of sin. He's a holy God who said, thou shalt this, and if you don't do it, you're going to reap what you sow. That God is not the one that got you into trouble. Start blaming Adam and then work your way down the line until you meet you in the mirror. God's never going to show up in that equation. But I'm so glad that God did show up. You know, I don't know about you, but I would have a terrible heritage. I would have a heritage headed for hell. But God showed up in my life. And some of the people that are in the great cloud of witnesses cared about souls after they got saved. Wanted other people to hear about what they had heard. The same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob became their God, and they gave their life to the cause of Jesus Christ. Changed my world. Changed my life. You say, preacher, what happened? I'm going to tell you, listen, that great cloud of witnesses. We named some of them last night, but I'm just going to tell you this morning. Listen, there's a ton of them. My mom and papa were up there. They showed me the way, amen. I still got a heritage. Listen, I didn't know how to be married, but I watched two Christians live with each other and love each other. I got a great heritage. You say, preacher, does that matter? Listen, it matters every day. Every day I wake up and I put that into practice in my life. I learned from my mom and dad that marriage is work. That I live in a sin-cursed world and everything don't go just exactly how I want it to go. And so sometimes I have to work hard to be what my wife needs me to be. Because naturally, I'm not what she needs me to be. I have to beg God to be the spiritual man. I have to beg God to do the things that are hard for me when I don't want to go that route. Listen, I don't know how many times we had to beg for people to give on the radio station. And I'm not against that. I'm not above that. But bless God, I'm begging you to do right. Do what God wants you to do. Step out for God and be who God wants you to be. Listen, this morning I'm in the church house and I'm not in the radio behind the mic. Can I just ask everybody, because of people who's gone before and people who built this place and people that want more than anything that are looking over the banister rail of heaven saying, be the daddy that you ought to be. Be the mama that you ought to be. Be the wife and the husband that you ought to be. Hey, how about be a kid that you ought to be? Be the soul winner that you ought to be. Be the church member that you ought to be. You say, preacher, why are you getting so excited? Because, listen, I realize, and somebody sat down and said, this is the third fastest growing town in all of Polk County and really the state. He said that our county is the third fastest growing in the nation. You say, I hate that. Do you know God planned that? He knew that long before you did. Now, maybe they're growing because this is a sin-cursed earth. You say, preacher, what are you thinking? Listen, I grew up in this small town and I go back and I get to help them right now. And they think they got traffic. They ain't got traffic. If I chose what was easy for me, then I'd go back where my grandbaby is. And I'd go back where my blood is. And I'd go back where the people who have invested in my life and led me to Christ are. I got married in that church. I got baptized in that church. Everything that is good that has ever happened in my life happened in that church. But I have a call of God on my life. I have a God who loves me, a God who saved me, who came from heaven and left his home. And he came way south from me. You say, preacher, why are you going to stay in Florida? Because God's got us here for a reason. 90% of the people that are in this building today, listen, you don't got a whole lot of heritage from this town. This ain't where you were born and raised. This isn't where you thought you would live and die, but this is where God put you. And God put you here because you need to be a witness. Listen, do you think everybody that ever got a part of this, that got a part of this that was up in the memorial wing, started out thinking, you know what, I'm going to sacrifice. And we're going to go down to this little church that's over here on the corner that don't got nothing, that can't even pay the preacher. They ain't even got a bathroom in the building. You think they thought that they'd build this place? Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I looked at pictures and everything over there was nothing but orange grove. Everything everywhere around this place was nothing but orange grove. And you can pitch a fit and moan about, man, I wish it was Orange Grove. I thank God that there's a church sitting where Orange Grove used to be. I'm thanking God that there's a gym where kids get taught about Jesus Christ where a Orange Grove used to be. No orange ever told anybody about Jesus. But school teachers changed my life. School teacher, you say, preacher, I don't think I'm doing anything. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, there was a school teacher that changed Restorethon last night, and he's in heaven looking over the banister rail. And his name is Wally Hartwig because he was faithful. Somebody said, hey, there was a school teacher that changed my life. I want to honor him tonight. He's one of my heroes of the faith. You school teachers, you change people's lives. It's hard. Yeah, it's hard. They're kids. They're evil. Because that's what's natural. You know what they have to do? They have to be taught. I was taught to say yes, sir. I was taught to say yes, ma'am. And it was school teachers. Listen, it is harder than it's ever been before because we used to be able to use natural fleshly things like the seat of their britches or to bust their knuckles to get them to get a spiritual hearing and understanding. Because that's what the Bible says, to spare the rod is to spoil the child. We're trying to assist the Christian home in raising their kids right. And listen, the home won't beat them anymore and they won't let us beat them. You know where the Bible says, listen, I'm just going to tell you right now, nobody in this building is going to like this. If you won't spank your kid, listen, God help you. If your kid won't live and act right, it is your fault. God entrusted you with those children, and He commands you in His word not to spare the rod. You want to change your kids and let them live for God, you whoop them. Why? Because if they won't be obedient to you, they will not be obedient to God. If they can't learn how to do it naturally, how are they ever going to do it spiritually? If they can't understand what correction is earthly, how can they understand heavenly correction? Listen, I look at all this and I see that they were witnesses in the past. Turn with me to Joshua chapter number 24. Joshua 24. You say, preacher, I believe you might go into overtime. I believe you might be right. I got 3 weeks of preach bottled up in this thing. You say, how long is that going to take? I don't know. It depends on how fast you listen. Joshua takes over from Moses. God had commanded Moses to take people into the land, but because of things that happened in Moses' life, he couldn't carry them all the way through. He couldn't finish the job. And so God says, he literally realizes, God tells him, you're not going to finish this race. You're not crossing over that Jordan. You're not going in there with the people. And Moses says, God, the people got to have a leader. Moses doesn't say, let me tell you who the leader is. He says, there's got to be a leader. And God says, take Joshua. And He orders everything that will happen and how that He lifts him up in front of the people. And He commands the people. And then God commands Joshua to cross with the people. And they cross over. They go to battle. By the way, I'm just going to tell you, Joshua didn't win every one of them. There were times when it looked like, Joshua thought, we can do this without God. You know what happened? They got beat back bad. People lost their husbands. People lost things. And they were broken. There were people who sinned and caused trouble inside the camp, like Achan's. It wasn't all perfect. God recorded all of it for our admonition so that we could realize there are good and bad. There are victories and high points, and there are disappointing things that happen in the work. But listen, they conquered the land. They've conquered the land by chapter 24, and then Joshua, as he's getting aged, and he goes before the people, and he wants to tell the people, hey, I need you to do something for me. We've got a great heritage. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses, who was faithful. He says, I need you to listen to me, and I need you to listen good. He said, I need you to make a choice if you're going to be a witness or not for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, we know what's happened in the past, and we can see their great cloud of witnesses. Moses went up to a high place to look over and to see what that would be like to go on into the promised land. Do you know how many of them, the Bible even says that the Old Testament saints looked into the age that we currently live. Even angels looked into this grace age that we live in. I think about that all the time, and that the old timers that looked on into the promised land and thought, "Woo, look at that, what that must have been like." Do you realize that this age that you currently live in, where we have the indwelling Holy Spirit empowering us to do the work of God, is an age that every saint in the past would love to live in. They'd love to serve in. They'd love to have witnessed in. And you get the pleasure of living in this age and walking this walk and having the entire Bible and every word that God wanted you to have.
and we squander it. We squander our time. We don't teach it to our children. We don't make a choice and go forward. We don't think that what we're doing is a big thing when it really is in eternity. What happened last night is a big thing. There will be people who gather around the throne of God, and they will point to somebody in the crowd and they will say, because of you and what you gave to Restore-a-thon, I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm here tonight. I'm here in this place because of what you did. They'll look at somebody else and say, hey, you're the one that took the call from the person who pledged and you penned it down. And it went to the radio station, and then somebody praised God for it and got happy. And he'll say, hey, you were the one that was on the radio, and you pled for somebody else to give. And they gave, they made the next call. And there, I'm here because you made that plea. I spoke to your heart, and you said the words out over the air that touched somebody else. Listen, our homecoming in heaven is going to be something. Not just walking up and seeing grandma and grandpa. I'm looking forward to that day. They're great cloud of witnesses, but I'm going to meet people I've never seen before. They're going to say, hey, I'm here because of what you gave. I'm here because of how you witness. I'm here because of your testimony. I'm here because of what is it going to be for you? He goes in and he says this, and I wanted to read all this. He says in verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a very popular passage of Scripture. Most people don't go on down and read the rest of the interaction between Joshua. They just say, Joshua said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is a great position to take. But folks, if you're going to take that position, you know what Joshua then went and said? He went to all his house. This is what we're doing in our house. This is what we're going to do in our home. This is how we're going to live. This is how we're going to serve God in our home. Do you know that's not popular in our day? We're raised in a bunch of pansy wimps because we let them do what they want to. We don't train them up in the way that they ought to go. We let them try to figure it out for themselves. Why in the world do you think that God would have given children parents if they could have figured it out on their own? Why would God give us a Bible and a preacher and a church if we thought we could figure it out on our own? I can tell you what God didn't give you was YouTube. That was the devil. God's plan is the church. You say, well, I found some good things on YouTube. You probably did. But you found just as much bad. Just as much rot. And if you didn't have somebody to teach you what the difference was, you'd soak up so much wrong before you knew it wasn't right. Hey, that wasn't popular. Hey, whoopee, preacher, that's good preaching. You're against whoopee. YouTube? Amen. I'm just going to tell you, I'm not against some streaming service. I'm against what they put on it. And they'll not only put the good, but they'll put the bad on there too. And it's dangerous. You say, preacher, why are you saying that? Because I'm saying Joshua was trying to tell the people. God had burdened his heart because he knew if he didn't try to get the people to make a commitment to stay with God and to walk the way God wanted them to walk, not just for today, but for the future. He said, as for me and my house, I can't choose for you. You have to choose for yourself. I believe we live in a day, and if we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll choose for tomorrow. I'll do that tomorrow, preacher. I'll be faithful for a day. Christianity is 5 years long for most people. They get on the bus, and after 5 years, I'm tired of working. I'm tired of going through the trouble. I'm tired of all the hard work and all the things. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, if you work, it'll wear you out. You can do it for yourself and something that's not eternal. You can do and trade your money and time for somebody else out in the world and just work that all out. Sometime is going to be the last time you could ever breathe a breath and put any work into anything. And I'm going to tell you right now, it was a long time ago I decided that I didn't want my stuff that I left behind to my children for them to love fishing or plumbing or some other thing that was natural of this earth that will burn up when this earth burns up with fire. But I wanted to leave an eternal lust in their heart to love God and the things of God and the work of God. I told my class this morning, why did you go out there and pitch with those little kids? Because they're the future of our church. And I want them to desperately learn that Restore-a-thon is worth attending. When do you train givers for Restore-a-thon? With a wiffle ball bat and a ball. And a preacher that knows, hey, there's a bunch of worries. We are way behind. But I'm going to go play with the kids for an hour. I'm going to spend my life on them because, listen, God's got this year handled. But my job is to train up the next generation to love God and to love being in His church and in the things of God. Can I just testify to you? I only do the things I do because people who I have seen love God and serve Him. Do you know, I can't tell you all the things my home church did as a child. But I don't have a lot of memories that aren't church related. And every one of those, I can tell you, I had the greatest time of my life. We did this and we did that. And I was, you know, and I was always at the church. Why? Because my mom and dad said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to be there. We're going to be in the house of God and we're going to be the part of the things of God. And he comes down with these and he says, and Joshua says in verse 19, and Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression nor your sins if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. He said, the same God that's holy and righteous that will do good to you, that same God, if you turn your back on him, he knows you're his children. And he is a good daddy. And he will whoop you to get you to come home and do right. He says, and the people said unto Joshua. Preacher, I was driving and thinking about this. I mean, a crowd bigger than this. I mean, millions of people. He's shouting out there, hey, don't think you can serve the Lord and serve some other God. God ain't going to put up with that. You're not going to be able to serve yourself. We live in a day of humanism. And the God that people have lifted up is themselves. They're too busy to raise their kids because they worship themselves. They're too busy to do what God wants them to do because they worship themselves. The biggest thing that you'll want to see, the meme of the world, is me time. And if they don't even know they're worshiping themselves, they sit there locked in on everybody else who posted me time. And they get scrolling. And next thing they know, hours of their life have passed by and it's been this much profit. And the only thing they used up was power on their cell phone. Can I just tell you this? The people had a mind to follow God. I believe this place has a mind to follow God. You know how we're going to train the next generation is to tell them, hey, we chose. I made a choice for you a long time ago. We are going to serve God. You know, I can't choose for my boys. I can't choose what God will do with their lives. They are adults now and they have to make their choice. But since they've been small and in my house, I'd look at them little boys and say, we are going to church because I made a commitment to God. And you will go to church with me. We are going to run a bus route. We are going to go witnessing. We are going to go do this. We are going to go paint the church. We are going to go work at camp. Listen, and this is the problem. Hey, listen to me now. And if we're not careful, we've grown into this age where when somebody has a baby, two people, faithful in church, and then a baby comes along. And we can't do anything anymore for God. I've got a baby. My husband can go run his bus route, but I'm not going to get on there with him because we is too busy. Well, we need to go to bed earlier and make sure we wash them kids and lay their clothes out the night before so we can go back on the bus route. Because what trains children up in the way that they should go is parents that say, we are going to serve God together. We are going to go to church together. We are going to restore-a-thon. We are going to have a good time. We are going to eat hot dogs. We are going to have chili. We are going to give a pledge. We are going to serve God with our lives. And you know what happens when they get older? They say, when are we going to restore-a-thon? The people said to him, look at what he says. And the people said in verse 21 unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. He said, don't you do it if you can't do it. Don't you tell God you're going to do something you won't do. Don't you lie to yourself and to your children. You make a decision that matters and means something. And the people said, nay, Joshua, we followed you all this way. We're not about to quit now. He said, no, you can't. You couldn't do it if you wanted to. Hey, can I just tell you, that's what we're getting sold down the street today. Where is it the core, hardcore Christian, fundamentalist, that'll say, no, preacher, I'm not like all those other people. I'm going to serve God with my life. I will not forsake the Lord for other gods. I'm going to serve him with everything. We will serve the Lord. Look at what they say. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourself today. You're witnesses against yourself. He said, what do you mean by that? That means, listen, you better choose your words carefully. Words matter. God's listening. They said, nay, but we will serve the Lord. He said, ye are witnesses against yourself that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve. You serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. What did they say? We are witnesses. See, we've been witnesses of the past. Many of you walked up and I heard people all say, man, you did a great job. What a blessing. All this hard work. Man, it looks great. They walked through the history. You're witnesses of all the history of all the people who have said, Lord, me and my house will serve the Lord. That's what built this place. Not just one preacher, but the preacher, you know what was burdened in his heart was to build a memorial wing, not to him, but to the church of Jesus Christ. A group of people who put hammer and nail, blood, sweat, and tears to build a place. Listen, went to the bank to borrow money so we could build a gym and have a Christian school. You know, preacher, I get hard, and a lot of preachers won't even take a church with a Christian school. And I think about the heritage here and how many people, like Brother Wally Hartwig, who left a good paying job. He could have retired with ease long before he did, but Brother Hartwig was not retiring on the Lord. He quit his job and came here and taught science in this place. There's a science lab over there. It's named after him. Listen, let's not forget where we came from. If we forget where we come from, we'll forget who we are as a church. We'll forget what made us who we are. It was making commitments to God and then following through with them. He said, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen the Lord to serve him. And he said, we are witnesses. Look at what he says. You going to make that commitment this morning? As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. This is what you have to do. Now, therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. Can I just say to you, church, when you make a commitment to God, that is not the end. The commitment is not that. That's a beginning. And if you're willing to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And maybe you said that in the past, but you realize you got off track. What I would love, and this isn't just for people with kids. This is for all of us that aspire to be what we ought to be for the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a commitment. That's what you need to do this morning, make the commitment. And then the second thing that you ought to step out and do is, because you've seen people in the past, you've watched Restore-a-thon in the present, that God can use people right here in this church. You ought to step back and say, God, I choose to serve you. And then, listen, he says, take all the strange gods out of your life. You know, even the verse, the New Testament passage of Scripture that correlates with this, we read it. Wherefore, seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, he says, what does he talk about? Not gods, but he talks about sin, the sin that so easily besets us. Listen, he says, the weights. You know, I don't know about you, but there are things in your life and in my life probably, if we could go through that, that aren't just things that are sins that are holding us back, like strange gods we need to put away. But there are things that if I really was going to serve God with my life, they weigh me down and keep me from going to church. They keep me from taking my kids where they ought to go. They keep me from those things that I'm going to get rid of, not only the sin, but I'm going to get rid of the weights that weigh me down and keep me from being the Christian, the mom and dad, the Christian parents that we ought to be. You say, preacher, what should I do? Put away the strange gods. And then he says, and his voice will obey. I would say this. There are so many people in the crowd today, and I know I don't have any more time, but I beg you to listen just a minute longer. What is the greatest thing for a Christian is to open the Word of God and for God to be real to you and to speak to your heart from his Word. And I am afraid that we live in an age that people will not put away the strange gods, and they won't give God time to be in his Word so that God can speak to you. There is nothing on planet Earth like realizing not only God's real in salvation, but that he still speaks. That when we open his Word, he speaks and we can obey him. Folks, do you know this life is progressive? And as children, you know what kids learn? They learn when mom and dad say, hey, I want you to take and get this out. I was so thankful and I thought about so many things. There's so busyness of the Restore-a-thon. And I have adult children now, and I would call them and I'd say, hey, buddy, I need you to take care of this for me. I need you to come do this. And they know that we're busy. And they're busy doing something. And they say, okay, Dad, I love you. I'll take care of it. Do you know why your kids will get in on what you're into? Now, my kids could want to get in a boat and go fishing with me. They could give their money to that. They could go golfing. And we could do all those other things that we're talking about. But a long time ago, I sat down and I looked at these little kids. And I said, we are going to Bible college. We're going to leave everything we know. We're going to sell our house because we are going to serve the Lord with our lives. I don't know what we're going to do after that. I don't know where we're going to go. I don't know where we're going to live. I just know what God has asked me to do. He spoke to me and he asked me to step out. Can you imagine Abraham addressing his household and saying, folks, I'm not exactly sure where we're going. I'm not sure what we're going to do, but God has spoken and we've got to step out and go. This church has a rich heritage, but more than anything, this message is me taking. Listen, you say, preacher, we didn't set any kind of money record. God set a record in my heart this year. He did something that I wasn't sure he could do. And it might not have been that big to you, but it was big to this preacher. I don't know if it's the memorial wing and the heritage that meant something to me, but I want desperately, I don't want to go backwards from where we are today. I want to launch forward. I want to trust God. Me say, this is a big building, man. We haven't even filled it up. God put it in my heart to fill this place up. And God didn't give us that land across the street for it to sit idle. He didn't clear it out and put grass there. You say, preacher, you want to build a new building? I want to do whatever will bring God glory and will see people saved. Amen. I want to extend our radio stations and go forward. You say, preacher, your dreams are too big. Too big for who? God or your family? Too big for you? Listen, I guarantee you the dreams that God has put in my heart and the things I want to obey for him are not too big for the God that I serve. But if we could get a group of people, like the ones that built this place, that say, God, they sit down, their family say, listen, as for us, me and our house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to get behind our preacher. We're going to get behind the radio station. We're going to get behind the Bible. We are going to be witnesses. The message is this. When you stand before Jesus and you are a witness against yourself, what will you tell him about what was preached today? What decision did you make? Did you decide, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord? I'm all in, Lord. I'm going to give it all for you. I'm going where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'm going to follow in whatever God decides to do in the future. Or will it be this? Yeah, I heard it and I did feel a draw on my heart. I just didn't feel like I wanted to do that. I didn't feel like I wanted to be invested that much in the cause of Christ. God help us. Pastor said it on the radio. No one has ever walked to a graveyard and read a tombstone that said, I trusted God too much. No one said, I regret giving everything for the cause of Christ. But I have heard of tombstones that say, no retreat and no surrender. We live in a day and age where Christians are not willing to surrender everything to the cause of Christ. I believe our church is an oddity for that. And what I'm doing this morning, I'm just going to tell you, you say, preacher, I thought this was a victory lap. It is. For me, it is. But I'd love for us to mark today. And I would love to be like Joshua of old and said, you need to choose today who you're going to serve. You need to choose. You say, preacher, I am fully in. Tell God again. Because I'm telling you right now, we have people bailing out all the time. They found some other place to be or something else to be a part of. Because the cause of Christ isn't why they're here. The cause of Christ isn't what they've surrendered to. I want to raise my family right. That means we are going to serve the Lord. Folks, I say this. What changed my life, what changed Pastor Carter's life, was the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ. I came to a place in my life where there was a crossroads, and in the crossroads of that stood the cross of Jesus Christ. And I fell down and I called upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and it changed my everything. He changed my eternal destiny. And then the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, he uses this terminology of admiring Jesus Christ. Do you know, I've never really gone through the process of really understanding it. Admiring something means that you wonder at it. Not so much that you fear. It says wonder mingled with pleasure. Can I just tell you, I have admirable, I mean, I'm admiring the fact that God would save a sinner like me. I admire the fact that God is a holy God and he left heaven and he died so that you could go to heaven, I could go to heaven. And just like good coffee, some of you drink coffee black, but good coffee is mingled with creamer. And it makes it so much more pleasurable than just drinking it straight. And I'll just say this, God coming into my life, listen, there's no good in me. But what good you see is because Jesus was poured in and stirred up in me. You know what's good about your life? When Jesus was poured in, when he got stirred up in you, people can see him in you. I want to get stirred up again for the Lord. I don't mind being called a little crazy. I just want people, when they say, oh, you're crazy, preacher, no, I'm stirred up about the person that's in me, Jesus Christ. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, I've challenged the church this morning to give themselves to the Lord. Can I just ask you, I know, listen, I don't know what it is that you'll pray this morning, but if you are saved and on your way to heaven, I would ask you to thank the Lord for what He's done. I would ask you this morning, if you need to make a commitment and tell God, God, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want you to do that this morning. If you say, preacher, I've already said that, would you come and just re-up that commitment where you are? Ask God to just help you to commit that. Listen, sometimes in the midst of it, we get off track and we need to just say, God, help me get back to where that goal that I had. As a church body, if there's somebody that came today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, it is so simple to accept Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection is the gospel, the good news, that He came from heaven, died on Calvary, and rose again. Would you let us take a Bible? I preach so hard about how good God is and why we ought to serve Him. I'd love to be able to take a Bible and show you how you can accept Him this morning. As Brother Bert sings and we stand to our feet, I'm going to pray and ask God, let's stand to our feet. I'll just say this, as I pray, if God spoke to your heart, don't delay. You step out and come. Dear Lord, I pray that folks would be saved this morning, God. I pray that folks would be changed, that today they'd make a decision for them and their house that they would serve the Lord. God, I pray that you would be with us now. I know that so many, Lord, have already made this decision. Help us to just re-up that. Lord, help us to be a church that serves you with everything that we are. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Bert would say.